The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Mark 15, the verses 1 through 21. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Mark 15, the first 21 verses. And straightway in the morning the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. And now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with them, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him, whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, whom he had scourged, when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, hail, a King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed, and it spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. John Bazoyan, who remains in the Lethbridge Hospital, the ongoing war in Ukraine, and Simon and Jean van Wieringen, who hope in this week to commemorate their 59th wedding anniversary. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. A most holy, a most merciful, and most long-suffering God, the Creator and the Upholder of the heavens and of all the earth, then it has pleased thee to grant unto us and our dear children that we were given to witness another rising of the sun. Then thou was granted unto us another Lord's Day, a day which thou wast set apart, that we may rest from our labors, when we may come up to thy courts, and to hear what thou hast to say unto us, Lord. Then thou wast graciously watched over each and every one of us in the week that has quickly run its course, when we were in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be. Then thou wast blessed us with many blessings from above, and that for a people that is so unthankful, that taketh it so for granted, and when it was different in this week, then it was the work of thy Holy Spirit, Lord. May it then please thee, when we are gathered together within the walls of thy house, that we may receive from thee by the first time, and also by renewal, a broken and a humble heart under all thy goodness, with a profound impression what we deserve. We are all lying under the sentence of death. By renewal we have heard the holy law of God. And then we all have to exclaim that we are guilty, that we are very guilty. And, Lord, then we do well, when thou wast granted another Lord's Day, when we may come up to thy house, that we may be given to reflect upon the past week, but also given to examine how it is with our sins, whether they are still all on our account, or whether they have been blotted out in the precious blood of thy dear Son, Lord. Then thou maketh a great difference with so many, with most of the people upon the face of the earth. And then we remember the people of Ukraine with the ongoing war, where there is much death, much mourning, much suffering, much destruction, where many are overwhelmed, many have fled, many uncertainties, many cares, and many fears for that people, where one woe was past and another woe was come, where in that country for many, that it is not possible to go up to thy house, undoubtedly. Also sanctuaries have been destroyed, Lord. May it please thee to uphold that people. May they be given to hear the voice of the Lord, where thou hast allowed the enemy to enter their land. Well, thou grant a repentance, that they may be given to cry unto thee, and if it may be according to thy will, to yet remember them with thy favor, O Lord. May this war be used in that country, that many may be converted by thee unto thee, that people may be given to see in our Lord, if thou doth not work by thy Spirit, then thou can send the greatest judgment, and then we shall never be humbled. But may it please thee to use it among that people for the coming of thy kingdom. But may wars and rumors of wars also be used for us and our children, that we may be given to see that the times are so solemn and so serious, and that the time is short, that the footsteps of the king are being heard, and that it may be used, that there may be a hastening for our life's sake. Lord, we humbly beg thee by renewal. We have begged already so often, and Lord, thou knowest that our begging is so poor, but may we be given to ask by renewal of thee for a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, a rich blessing upon thy holy word. It is written in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching thou shalt save some, and may we be given to ask thee for many, Lord. Each and every one stands in need of that blessing. Through our deep fall in Adam, then we are lost, we are undone. And, Lord, thou knowest that if thou doth not bestow mercy, that we are lost forever and ever. And to that end, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. And may it please thee to use the preaching of the cross of Christ, wherein these weeks then the church in a special way is called to meditate upon the suffering and the death of thy dear Son. The price has been paid. And then thou sendest out those precious invitations, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest, Lord, for all those that are not heavy laden, that are not burdened. It is true. Many cares concerning the timely things, but those that are not concerned concerning the saving of their never dying soul, may it please thee by thy free and sovereign grace, to begin that good work, that they may be enrolled among that number of seekers. And, Lord, may there have come up souls. All our hearts, they are an open book before thee. May there have come up souls, with a desire, with a need, with an expectation. Lord, put them not to shame. Wilt thou remember thy children? Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, all those that are called to labor therein, in different places, in different offices, so dependent upon thee. Wilt thou also remember the students in this day? Lord, remember all the temporal needs. Do remember widowers, widows, orphans, all those that have brought dear ones to the grave, where those places remain so empty. Continue to strengthen, sanctify the callings. We remember all our elderly ones in the evening of their life, those in the care home, and those that may still go in and out. Remember them for body and for soul, Lord. Remember the father in the hospital with a serious, the dreaded disease, a serious condition. And we may acknowledge thee where it seems that in the past week that the treatments have been blessed, that he isn't able to take some drink. But, Lord, it is only an extension. And then we may humbly ask thee, may the extension be used for the purpose of all purposes, and that is for the saving of his never-dying soul. Wilt thou grant in his hospital room that it may please thee to come down with thy spirit and with thy power, and that he may be given to pray with the publican of old. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wilt thou remember his dear wife? Wilt thou uphold her? Wilt thou remember them both together? Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care? That all things are known unto thee, the circumstances, and may the callings, may they be sanctified. The Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. In this morning hour, wilt thou anoint us with fresh oil from above? Oh, may thou grant that with freedom and liberty we may be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou help and remember all the hearers? Help our little boys and our little girls to understand. Ah, thou only needeth one word, but what the little children need, that we all need, and that thy word may not only enter into our ears, but that it may enter into our hearts by the application of the Holy Spirit. Lord, wilt thou so remember us and our dear children, hastening to that never-ending eternity, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name, that it may be heard, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. And also concerning thy people, that they may receive instruction, faith to embrace. Thou granteth many blessings. Thou was granted in the past week a male members meeting where we have come together with part of the congregation to consider church expansion. Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant prayer? Wilt thou be the pillar of cloud? Wilt thou grant providential leadings? Remember prodigal sons and daughters. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 386, the stanzas 5, 6, 7, and 8. O righteous God, thy chastisement thou sent through foes in love is sent. Though grievous, it will profit me. A healing ointment it shall be. And what follows? Psalter 386, the stanzas 5 through 8. Thank you. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Mark 15, the verses 20 and 21, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." Our text words speak of Simon the Cyrenian bearing the cross behind Jesus with three thoughts. First, Jesus, the willing cross bearer. Secondly, Simon, the unwilling cross bearer. And thirdly, Simon, the sanctified cross bearer. Simon the Cyrenian, bearing the cross behind Jesus. Jesus, the willing cross bearer, as we find in verse 20. Simon, the unwilling cross bearer, because we read in verse 21 that they had to compel Simon. And thirdly, Simon, the sanctified cross bearer, then we read in our text words, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Thus first, Jesus, the willing cross bearer. Beloved congregation, then already in these Passion Weeks, we have heard profound things concerning the deep, the profound suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, that a people may be saved. And then the last time we have mentioned that text, Matthew 22, verse 42, "What think ye of Christ?" That is such a personal question. What think ye of Christ? And that is an answer that needs to be given between the Lord and our soul. Because concerning that answer, there depends upon where we shall spend a never-ending eternity. Then concerning the trials of Jesus, then there have been three trials in the church. First, before Annas, we would say Emeritus High Priest, when he was examined concerning his disciples and doctrine. Secondly, when most or much of the Sanhedrin have gathered together in the hall of Caiaphas, and where Christ was given to confess that he indeed was the Son of God. And then in the early morning hour, when the Sanhedrin has gathered, then officially he was condemned. So there were also three civil trials. Then early Friday morning, then the Sanhedrin, the priests, the Pharisees, and the scribes, And then they have brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate. And then Pontius Pilate has said, ah, they had a desire that Pontius Pilate would quickly give him over that he may be put to death. But Pilate has said, ye have a law, judge him. But then they were given to confess, oh, what was fulfilled, what Father Jacob has prophesied on his deathbed, that the scepter would not depart till Shiloh come, but now at the time of the crucifixion, then it is clear that the scepter was quickly departing. And then they have Pontius Pilate has asked the accusations, in the first place perverted the nation, in the second place refused to give tribute to Caesar, and that he called himself Christ, the King of Israel. And then when Galilee was mentioned, then Pontius Pilate has sent Jesus to Herod, where he was also examined, he was silent, he was mocked, and then Herod has sent him back to Pontius Pilate, declaring that he found no guilt in Jesus, and that Pontius Pilate has laid, because the multitudes have come together on that Friday morning, then Pontius Pilate has declared that he found no guilt in Jesus. But then we know what has happened. Then upon Pontius Pilate it was a custom. Then he has put Barabbas, that wicked Barabbas, over against that holy Jesus. And then Pontius Pilate, oh, he was warned, because his wife had a dream, and then his wife was given to say to her husband, have nothing to do with a just man. And then he is returned outside, and then the people have cried that Barabbas must be set free, and that Jesus must be crucified. Oh, then he is asked by renewal, what has he done? Oh, it was even declared that the Jews have said that he has called himself the Son of God. Pontius Pilate, with great fear, he has entered by renewal and asked concerning that sonship where Jesus was given to declare that he had no power except the Lord would give it unto him. And then he has brought him outside. Ah, then he was scourged, because we read in our text, and when they had mocked him and took off the purple from him, oh, in Gabbatha, then the soldiers, they have scourged him. Do we not read in Psalm 129, verse 3, the plowers plowed upon my back. They have made their furrows long. They have put upon his head a crown of thorns. They have given him a reed. They have mocked him. And then Pontius Pilate has brought him outside. Behold the man. But then the people have cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Ah, then Pontius Pilate, when he is asked, what must they do with Jesus? What a question that is for us and our children, oh, young and old. May I ask you in this morning hour, has the Lord now worked that need? Have we, by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, have we become a sinner? Have we become a great sinner? A sinner that has tried so hard to please the Lord, and a sinner still, we're in the way of experience, to experience even a greater sinner. Oh, it is the precious work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that precious Jesus. What must I do with Jesus? Crucify him, crucify him. Pontius Pilate has washed his hands. And then the Jews, they have expressed, they have spoken those terrible words, his blood, be upon us and our children. And so we read in our text, and put his own clothes on him and let him out to crucify him. When we consider then in this morning, then we are called upon to consider Christ led out to the cross. And then there were many different people that have followed him out of Jerusalem to the cross of Calvary. And when we consider those people, then we must examine ourselves. Where do we now fit in? Because that people that followed Jesus to the cross, there was a reason, there was a purpose. It was so different in their hearts. And now in the Passion Weeks, then each and every one, the boys and girls, the older ones, then we may be given to follow the Lord Jesus Christ from step to step. And then we are called to consider, where do we now fit in? Where do we belong? Who can we identify with? That is necessary. Many times that is the difficulty with us and our children when we speak of these things, that we do not want to identify with that people, that we think that we are so much better. But let us now for a moment consider that people. Then there were the Roman soldiers. They have went to the cross, was their duty. The order of Pontius Pilate to bring Jesus to the cross. Also our calling, our duty to come up to God's house. But for those Roman soldiers, oh, it is true. Duty does not stand the Lord in the way. Because when Christ has died, we read of that centurion that he's confessed that Christ was a righteous man, surely the Son of God. Thus first, is that now our picture? How have we come up to God's house? Form and duty, and never leave your place empty. Then we have to ask the Lord that even under form and duty and under all the Lord's goodness and all the solemn callings in this world, that in these Passion Weeks that we do not remain cold, indifferent, untouched, but that it may please the Lord by His Spirit to use it, that we may be given to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin. In the second place, the justice of God, that sin needs to be paid for. And in the third place, the unfathomable love of a triune God. Then who else were present, boys and girls? Then there were the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sanhedrin. They have followed Jesus with a devilish joy because Jesus has told them so honestly their sins and their faults. And therefore they were filled with envy. That is an awful place to be. Seeking, desiring, rejoicing when the church may fall or slip. We read in Acts 6 that there were also priests converted to the Lord. Nothing impossible. When we have become as those Pharisees, also in a way of self-righteous thinking, that we are much better than our neighbor, then we need to beg the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit. Then there were also those women that have wept, filled with pity and with compassion. No, they were not hardened, filled with emotion and with feelings when they were given to see the deep, the profound suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, which had done nothing but good. But what was now so necessary for those women, that not in the way of pity, but that they would be led to the cross and to be given to see the purpose of that profound suffering, that it was for the saving of his church. Then there were also a great company of Jews that have followed Jesus bearing his cross in the way of curiosity, that they would be given to see the end. But then there was yet another people, and that was a small remnant, but there was still a remnant whom the Lord has drawn by the cords of love, who were given to experience the wonderful words that Jesus has spoken. Different ones were given to see his miracles, a remnant that has tried to please the Lord, oh, by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit. They have learned what sinners they were, with the desire to come to Jerusalem as a clean one, to be received and accepted by the Lord, to be saved. And now what has taken place? A Simon, we hope to hear it, and that is now necessary for that remnant that may come up to God's house with their sins, with their desires, and with their longings. And then on Sunday morning, when they may hear the holy law of God, that they are arrested, and that each time by renewal, when the Lord begins, that takes place, but also by renewal with all their efforts, with all their prayers, with all their repentance, their reformation, with their tears, and then to be arrested by the law, that demanding law, pay what thou owest. And then when it may take place, may it please the Lord to grant it, that those that are arrested, that they may be led, oh, they hope to receive a place in the church of God. Oh, the prayer that at the end they may receive a place in that holy Jerusalem, with golden streets, with the gates, where there's no necessity of the sun, because the Lamb shall be in the midst, and there to be delivered from all their sins, from all their infirmities, and there forever to be with the Lord, and to praise him forever and ever. But now, to be arrested, and then to not come into Jerusalem, but to be led outside of Jerusalem, the cross of Calvary. Thus, in our text, when we read, and led him out to crucify him, then they have led him out of the city, we read of many particular instances where people have been let out. Leviticus 24. There we read of that son that has blasphemed the name of the Lord, and they have led him outside of the city, and there they have stoned him. Even that dear Miriam, that pride. Moses, her younger brother, she thought, taken too much upon him, has spoken with the Aaron. But then we read as a leprous one that she was led outside of the camp. We read the same in Numbers 15 of that Sabbath breaker. We read of the sacrifices, that in different sacrifices part or most of the animal was brought outside of the camp and there burnt with fire. We read of the lepers when Samaria was besieged, that they were outside of the city. Oh, it was the law of the Lord that the lepers, that they received the place outside of the camp. We read of a Stephen in Acts 7, that they have led him outside of Jerusalem, outside of the city, and there he was stoned. Thus in our text, what a precious gospel that Jesus, that he was willing as the beloved Son of the Father, that he was willing to be led outside of the city of Jerusalem, and that for a people that ascended 1,000 times away, that has forfeited everything, that have learned because of their sins that there is no place for them. But now, that precious Jesus, that he was willing to be led outside of the camp, that a people, by the merits of Christ, and that the justice and mercy of the Father may be glorified, that they may receive a place inside of that holy city. Then we see, and led him out to crucify him, bearing his cross. Then, boys and girls, then you can understand it, how terribly painful that must have been, with that back that was tore apart. Just think sometime if we have a little splinter, then how painful it can be, or a sore toe, or what it may be when we bump it. But now that raw back of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they have laid the cross upon his back, that he is an Isaac, that he was willing to carry it to the cursed place of Calvary. What a love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, we must be careful, boys and girls, that we do not only think for all of us, of course, the bodily suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was great, that was unfathomable, but it was not the greatest suffering. Christ has said in Matthew 26, verse 38, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And why was that soul so sorrowful? Because of all the sins of his church, the wrath. When the Lord converts us, then we experience a little of that wrath. Person would experience all of it, he would just consume away. So great is that anger and wrath of God against sin. Thus the soul suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our second thought, as Simon, the unwilling, a cross-bearer. We read this history also in Matthew 27, verse 32, and Luke 23, verse 26, where his name is also mentioned. And then for the Lord Jesus Christ, the past night, no sleep. The last 15 hours, let us say, because also concerning the celebration of the Passover, what a tense moment, because of Judas was still present, and Judas would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that Passover, when that lamb that had been roasted by fire, an emblem of the justice of God, then it was portraying the Lord Jesus Christ, who soon as the Passover lamb would be hung on the cross of Calvary. Those Passover lamb boys and girls, they did not know what was going to happen. Those lambs did not know that they would soon be killed, and they did not have a soul. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, then the cross was before him. And now on the way to Calvary, then Christ started to falter. Of course, it was the divine nature, young people, we have learned it. The divine nature that has supported the human nature. Otherwise, Christ was never able to bear that suffering and the wrath of God. And then the Romans were given to see that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was beginning to falter, and that with the cross upon his back, that he would never be able to make it to Calvary. And therefore they have sought someone to help Christ to bear that cross. For the Romans, of course, it would be a disgrace. And if they have now picked out a Jew from Jerusalem, then the Romans, they were afraid that perhaps there would be open rebellion. And then they have seen Simon a Cyrenian. That was a man that was born in Cyrene, a place in Libya, a great distance away from Jerusalem. There's a province or a state to the west of Egypt, on the southern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. Thus a distance greater than from Pitcher Butte to Chilliwack. Have been boys and girls that have traveled that way. And I think it is true, there are different thoughts, cannot be proven. There are some that perhaps think that he has dwelt in the land of Canaan, but in Matthew 27, verse 32, it is expressed a man of Cyrene. Thus it seems to be implied that he has lived in that faraway distance, and that he has made a great journey. You can imagine how long that would take, boys and girls, if you had to walk, or even with a horse and chariot, how long it would take to travel to come to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, we would say, to come to church. Then how good we have it, that we can so freely, unhindered, come up to God's house. And now we read in our text, and they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country. At the time of Passover, it was a very busy time. And then it seemed that there were some of those celebrants that have slept, that they have stayed outside of Jerusalem in the surrounding country, that they have dwelt in a tent. And now in this morning, in the morning when Christ was led to the cross, then Simon the Cyrenian, with a desire, and when the Lord has begun that work in his heart, we do not know. It is possible that he has come up to the holy city of Jerusalem as a seeking soul in obedience to the command of the Lord, and with a desire that in the city of Jerusalem that he would receive rest for a soul. And nevertheless, for that Simon, then to celebrate the Passover, then the instructions are given in the Bible that he had to be a clean man. Otherwise, he could not enter that city. Otherwise, he could not partake of the sacrament of the Passover. Thus, that Simon, coming to Jerusalem undoubtedly, with a desire, because to come such a distance, that great distance to celebrate the Passover. And now he has nearly entered the city, and then he has met a great crowd. Was that by chance, congregation? Was that by chance? Lord's Day number 10, what understandest thou by the providence of the Lord? The almighty hand of the Lord, that he directs and governs everything to a certain end. Nothing by chance. Do we believe it, congregation? Do we believe what we confess and profess? Or do we at times have to ask, Lord, wilt thou grant that I may really believe what thy word declares, and what we may hear in the word of God? Work lovingly, irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit, all in the way of providence, many times or usually, when it goes smoothly and well, then we do not have so many questions. But those contrary providences, then there can be so many questions. And now the Romans, when they have seen Simon the Cyrenian, undoubtedly they have seen that he was a foreigner, that he has come from afar. It is possible that he was black, not written in God's word. But then we read that they have compelled him in Luke 23, verse 26, they have laid hold upon him. Thus that signifies that Simon, that he was not a willing cross-bearer, of course, in the first place. Then our flesh does not desire crosses. We desire a smooth and an even way. And when at the moment, when our way is not so difficult, may you be given to often ponder the goodness of the Lord, that he makes a difference where there is no difference. Then in the second place, to now bear a cross with one that has been sentenced to death, that would be a great disgrace. Then Simon would receive a name, that he has carried the cross of one who has been condemned to death. A name, perhaps, that would never be taken away from him. So Simon did not want to bear that cross. But they have arrested him, the Roman soldiers. They have laid hold upon him, and they have forced him to bear that cross. But there was another reason. What was that reason? Because we must think along. There was another reason, undoubtedly. That was now the greatest reason. What do you think? The main reason was, not excluding those first 2 points, but the main reason was that Simon, when he has traveled all that distance, oh, perhaps as a seeking soul, hoping and expecting, if he may come to the city of Jerusalem, where the temple was, and if he could bring the Passover lamb and celebrate the feast of the Passover, that he may receive peace and rest for a soul. Are there different souls in this morning that have come up in such a way to God's house? Restless souls can find no peace. Exercised with our sins, with death, and with eternity. That have begged in this week and in this morning, Lord, the Passion Weeks. And I have such a restless soul. Those souls, they have experienced wonderful things. And there can be times that it seems that the love of God covers everything, that it is good. But each time by renewal, the law, their sins, their justice, that is a people that cannot do it with a maybe. But they need the pardoning of their sins. That come up to God's house with a prayer, that in these Passion Weeks, that they may be given to behold and experience that passion, not only for others, but also for me, and now for a Simon. Everything upside down, arrested, bearing the cross of one that was condemned to death. He has become an unclean one. That means that he could not partake of the Passover. Seemed that it had been all in vain to come to Jerusalem. An unwilling, a cross bearer. And yet, that cross bearing that has been used by the Lord, by the application of the Holy Spirit, in a special way in the life of Simon. We could speak of the cross bearing of the church, because Christ has said to his church in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And oh, in the beginning, when the Lord draws with the cords of love, then that people, they think and they are given to tell the Lord that they are willing to bear any cross, that they are willing to suffer affliction as long as they may belong to that people and be saved from all their sins. Oh, think of a Ruth. Then it was not so difficult, because young people, young and old, The Lord does not have slaves in his service. But I read in Psalm 110, verse 3, a willing people in the day of his power. Oh, for that people, think of a Moses willing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But now concerning that cross bearing, it is not to merit. But we read in the Bible, in Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So that is not to merit, but it is a mark of the true child of God that they are given to walk in his footsteps. We have not time to multiply it out. But now that cross bearing for Simon that has been sanctified, our third thought, but let us first sing. A Psalter 84, the two stanzas, I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with my eyes upon thee, my counsel make thee know. And what follows, Psalter 84, the stanzas 1 and 2. as Simon the Cyrenian bearing the cross behind Jesus. Jesus the willing cross bearer. As Simon the unwilling cross bearer. And thirdly, Simon the sanctified cross bearer. What a blessing it is when it pleases the Lord by the work of a Spirit that trials and crosses that they may be sanctified. Let us also mention Simon has become behind Jesus. There are those times when it pleases the Lord in the life of His people, crosses, deep ways, also great pain, when they may be given to look upon the great cross bearer. Their crosses and trials are all deserved because of their sin. But the great cross bearer, as the Lamb without blemish, when they are given to see that He has suffered not for His own sins, but for the sins of His people. When they are given to compare their suffering with the suffering of the Son of God, then there are those times that their suffering becomes so little, even fades away. A greater blessing when it may be used to grant further leadings in the life of a child of God. May the Lord grant that in this morning hour for souls so exercised with the things of the Lord. Reformation, repentance, begging the Lord to receive tokens of His favor. And then what a privilege it is in God's house to be arrested when the law is read. A demanding law, pay what thou owest, and then to be privileged as a Simon to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. No, not bearing that cross to merit a perfect work, but a knowledge of the humiliation of the dear Son of God. And then for such a one to come to Calvary's hill and then to be given to see the cross no longer bearing, but that the beloved Son of God, that He was nailed on that cursed cross to take away, to blot out the sins of His people, that they may be given to see that purpose, so God glorifying and so soul saving. And then by a true saving faith to be given to embrace that sacrifice as a sacrifice for my sin. Jesus on the cross and Simon may go free, has went through different, unfathomable ways than we may believe. That a Simon the Cyrenian, from the covenant of works given to see, that covenant of grace, that on the cross, oh, he was given to celebrate a Passover that he never thought possible, not the animal slain, but the beloved Son of God as the mediator, that he has hung on the cross, the substitute, the surety for his people. Oh, are there such souls that are laboring under the law of God? Then in this morning, oh, with Simon, it may be declared, behold, the Lamb of God that hath taken away the sins of the world. But now there shall be those, because we must think along, this is even better, when there may be times that God's people may start preaching along, or even preaching ahead, or preaching further, or even richer. Because who was unable to declare the wonderful things of the Lord? But then there shall be those that ask, but where is it now written in the Bible that Simon, that cross-bearing, that it has been used for his eternal welfare and for further leadings? Tis the thought of all commentators that Simon was saved. Oh, he is mentioned 3 times in the Bible. And would the Lord now lead us, Simon, in such a providential way to the cross of Calvary? And shall it be in vain? Oh, no. We have the proof thereof, because we read in our text, the father, that was Simon, of Alexander and Rufus, then it is clear that among the Jewish people for whom Mark has written, that Alexander and Rufus, they were names that were well known in the midst of the church. And further, it is implied that later, that the family of Simon the Cyrenian, they have moved to Rome. And when Paul has written his epistle to the Romans, then we read in Romans 16, verse 13, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, a chosen vessel, and his mother and mine. Thus then it is written in the Bible. Oh, may that be encouragement. Different old fathers have said, earlier days, very few singular conversions. May the Lord grant that amongst us. Because when the Lord converts one, when the Lord converts a father and mother, father or mother, do you think that they have no compassion and no concern about their family? Because when the Lord shows us our lost condition and how terrible that is, and we are given to beg, then we also realize that our family, husband, wife, children, when they have not been converted, that the whole congregation, when they are unconverted, they are in that condition. And oh, then the prayer shall be multiplied, Shall be a time first with our walk. But oh, when you have a mother and father, do you think, congregation, when the Lord converts them, that there shall not be a reformation? Reformation should not be so necessary in the outward things. But a holy concern. And now, what a blessing. And may it also be for encouragement that a Simon, oh, that he could tell to his dear wife, because his mother and mine must not understand it, that was the mother of Paul. But then it seems perhaps a spiritual mother, or one that has done much for Paul in a different place, that she was as a mother to Paul for her care. Thus, what a blessing. Simon, an unwilling cross-bearer, has been used, has been blessed, and that his testimony used for the conversion of his dear wife, a mother in Israel, and two boys, Alexander and Rufus, well-known names in the midst of the church, may be office bearers. Thus it is clear that that cross-bearing, that it has been richly blessed by the Lord. We read in Matthew 10, verse 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Then by renewal, then we may consider a portion of the suffering of Christ. We have mentioned there was a diverse multitude, people, that have followed Jesus. Who do we best identify with? My unconverted fellow travelers. Oh, beg the Lord. Even form and duty does not stand the Lord in the way for the precious work of his Holy Spirit. And may it be granted that many may experience what Simon has experienced. All arrested, have laid his hands upon him, everything upside down, impossible, but in that way, to be given to follow Christ to the cross, and there to behold him for the saving of the soul, the forgiveness of sins. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, and with those outstretched arms offer a people that write many bitter things against himself with a question, can it now be for me? Precious invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of the wonderful works of free and sovereign grace, a word that cross-bearing, a word was sanctified for a Simon, and blessed in the midst of the family circle. Wilt thou work those wonderful works in the midst of us and our children? O Lord, do convert what is unconverted. seeking souls. Brought as a Simon to the cross to receive the pardoning of their sins, thy children, that in this season that they may receive new instruction and led deeper into the meritorial work of thy dear Son. Lord, thou hast promised to bless thy word, and many a times it pleases thee that thou also sendeth crosses, providential crosses, accompanied with thy word, where thy church must and shall be saved. Watch over us on this Lord's Day. Help fathers and mothers, the midst of the family circle, to be given to read, to speak, to pray, to sing. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies, and wilt thou return us safely in this evening hour. Grant a prayer for one another. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 329. The stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thou, Lord, hast dealt well with thy servant. Thy promise is faithful and just. Instruct me in judgment and knowledge, for in thy commandments I trust. And what follows? Consistory wishes to announce, the Lord willing, there will be a midweek service this coming Thursday evening, March 31, at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 329, 1, 2, and 4. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.